Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, wonderful. So, Maranek Sihutir. All that life has to offer is found in the moment. Our limited perception believes this moment to be the culmination of all moments that have gone before. However, it is not the offspring of the past, but the immaculately conceived child of infinite expression. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Belvasita World Radio. We are your hosts. I'm Denise, joined by our beautiful sister, Milou. Hello, Milou.
Hello, Denise.
And we are so happy to have you back, Milou. We missed you.
Thank you.
And we trust everything went well with the move. And
it did. It did.
New beginnings unfolding for all. Great. Well, thank you for all our listeners for tuning in this week. We felt like sharing this week some information on sacred sexuality and also dissolving density, which Almin had introduced, I think, was it 2011, Milou?
Yes.
And was, you know, at Christmas in December 2015, Almin was going to, you know, go deeper into sacred sexuality and explore it more, but that's put on hold for now. But we thought we would really like to get into, you know, sharing some of these techniques and exercises that Almin has brought forth with the use of Atlantean sigils. And Milou, because I know you were in the retreat when this first came out, did you want to share something about?
Yes, as far as I remember, it was the magic of the giants, and it was in the Copenhagen retreat of 2011 in August. That the sacred sexuality magic, in fact, came out, and it was very powerful. And it was it took a while for me to get it because it involves the 24 chakras of the body, and to get some circles moving, get the energy moving between all the chakras in an upper circle and in a lower circle, and then spinning the circles in opposite directions and then in the same direction, something like that. And then you merge or you make them come very, very close together. And then, you know, how do you say that?
They become unified? Does it become a unified field?
Well, they go in a figure eight.
Okay.
They go in a figure eight and they cross over in the middle where that is represented by spirit. But anyway, it was very powerful, but also a bit difficult in the beginning. So I think you have to try it a few times.
I agree. Because mm-hmm. the bottom chakras, the way the circle moves, is working with soul.
Yeah.
And the top chakras, the top circle, is working with the body. And then in the center is spirit. But from what I remember, it was about bringing them all into cooperation, where body, soul, spirit were in harmony and cooperation and not separate anymore.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. The first, it took me a few tries to really get it, but then once you do, it is, you're right, it's very powerful. It's amazing how it works. And I don't know, Milou, but I feel like with the Arisatma breath, isn't there one of the breaths is...
Yes, it does the same.
Same thing, yeah. So for anybody looking for to explore more information themselves on this, on dissolving density and on the sacred sexuality, there is an exercise in the Belvaspital Volume 2 book, which is what we're going to share with you tonight. We also have a great clip, an audio clip that Almeen explains in good detail how all of this works and to practice it. So we're going to play that at the end of the show, just to stay tuned. So should we begin, Milou, with, I guess, starting with digesting density?
Yes, I think that's a very good idea. There's three parts to this whole exercise, and I suppose you can do them separately, but I think or at least you can do the digesting of density separately. I do that sometimes, because it gives you energy. It's a form of energy source.
Yes. Yeah.
And who can't use some extra energy? And you digest your own density first, and use that as an energy source, in fact. And then when you're done, or if you don't have any more density, you can just look around and start digesting other people's density and the environment, and density from the entire earth, I suppose.
Yeah.
You can digest. So and also why I think it's a good idea, Almeen explained that, to digest density before you do the sacred sexuality exercise, is that if you are with a partner and you use the energy that is building up to manifest your desires, if you have something that you would like, a new house, or you like to move, or a new dress or whatever, you can use the energy, the sexual energy that you've built up with the sacred exercise, to sort of push it out through your belly button and out into your image, right? And if you have a partner that's with you or on top of you, or you the energy is projected through your partner, and his or her density has not been digested, it's going to pollute the energy, and it's going to pollute your and dilute your image, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's a good idea to digest density first. You can do that with a partner,
Yeah.
So
it's a fun exercise.
It is fun, and I feel lighter. I feel lighter when I do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Me too.
So, yeah. So should we start with that?
Yeah, let's start with that. So,
okay.
You want to begin?
Sure. So I'd like to invite our listeners to breathe deeply. Just take a few deep breaths and relax. And breathe out all tension, making sure that your body is totally relaxed. And then, by using your inner vision, see an image of yourself in all your perfection, as if by magic it's a reality now. And then you imagine a cylinder, similar to a washing machine, parallel to your shoulders but above your abdominal area. And you visualize it churning backwards and forwards like grinding motion in your stomach, and even deeper into the etheric soul levels behind the stomach. So you imagine this washing machine or cylinder in your stomach area and behind your belly button. And then you intend and pull in all the density from the body into the stomach. Intend that all old programs and belief systems and toxicity are pulled into the stomach so that it can be digested, like dirty clothes that are being washed. Continue churning until all density is white and clear. Just visualize it being all dark and gray and gooey, maybe. Gets lighter and lighter and clearer and clearer. And see from time to time how your image keeps developing. And when you feel that you have digested your density, it feels lighter and clearer and white, you can just leave it to keep churning, or just remove your focus from it. And then we can move on to step two, which is to get the bottom circle of soul moving. Perhaps you would like to talk about that, Denise?
Sure. So, Omin says, while there is no specific position for your hands, it is important that your legs are uncrossed. So again, remaining in a relaxed position, breathing deeply, we're going to start getting the bottom circle of the soul moving. So just begin visualizing the chakra located a hand's length below the left foot, and we're going to start there. So pulling up resources from there, feel the energy moving into the left foot, create a flow. The energy is moving up through the left ankle, up through the left knee, left hip, goes to the left ovary area. Visualize it going into the root chakra, and then into the second chakra, is 2 inches below your belly button. Now from there, we're going to continue with the flow of energy into the right ovary area. It's going to move down the right leg, the right hip, the right knee, ankle. You're going to see it go out the right foot and into the chakra that's a hand's length into the earth. Keep taking deep breaths and visualize now a spark of light that goes from the right earth chakra over into the left earth chakra in the ground. And then it starts again. So this completes one circle. And we're going to continue with the directions that we just had. We're going to create a fluid and balanced flow. So again, through the left foot, the left ankle, left knee. See the energy moving up the left hip, into the left ovary, the root chakra, into the second chakra. And just note the energy does not go beyond the second chakra. It stays 2 inches below the belly button. It flows into the right ovary area, then the right hip, the right knee, right ankle, the right foot, and into the earth chakra, and see the spark of light, and it goes again. So if you can coordinate your breathing, so inhale as the energy is moving up the left side of the body, and exhale as you're pushing the energy out the right leg. And you can do this several times. And we get the bottom circle of soul is moving. Deep breath in. It moves up the left foot, the left ankle, up the left knee, the left hip, the left chakra, the left ovary, down to the root chakra, into the second chakra. Exhaling, pushing the energy out into the right chakra, ovary area, right hip. Push it down, exhale to the right knee, right ankle, out the right foot, out into the earth chakra, and see the spark of light connecting again. And just visualize with the breath this flow of movement. For the soul. So Malu, you want to get the upper circle moving for body?
Yeah. Sure. So you place them together with palms facing upwards, just below your ribcage. So you can either sit and do that, or lie down and do that. So you bring up your hands to and facing palm upwards, just below your ribcage. And just as the bottom circle starts below the left foot, now you see the left palm pulling energy inwards and upwards in a direct line to the third chakra and onto the heart chakra. So the third chakra is also the solar plexus chakra. So you pull in the energy into your left palm, and it goes straight into the solar plexus and up into the heart chakra. And then it goes up to your left shoulder blade. And from there into your throat. Up to the third eye, and up to the crown, and then and it goes up the left side of the Lahun chakra and down the right side of the Lahun chakra and back into the crown, down to the third eye, the throat, and then out to the right shoulder blade, back into the heart, into the third chakra, and then finally into the right palm. And this time it also causes a spark to release into the left palm, just like it did with the feet. And now you need to match the speed and rotation of the lower soul circle. Both sides go up at the same time and down at the same time. So I'll just repeat how the circle goes. So the left palm is pulling in energy inwards and upwards in a direct line up to the third chakra and onto the heart chakra, into the left shoulder blade, into the throat, up to the third eye, to the crown, and up the left side of the Lahun chakra, and down the right side of the Lahun chakra, and back into the crown, into the third eye, into the throat, and out into the right shoulder blade, and back into the heart, the third chakra, and into the right palm, causing a spark to release into the left palm. Now have the two circles rotate in unison, ideally for about 5 minutes. You can also use your breath as you breathe in for the upward flow and out for the downward movement of the circles. So you breathe in as you pull the energy up through the left side. And you breathe out as the circles go down and the energy goes down into the right side of the body. Remember the upper circle, it never goes lower than 2 inches above the belly button. So there's a 4-inch belt, sort of, around the in the middle of the body where the circles do not touch. So now the circles rotate in unison. And we can go on to step 4 to bring the two circles together. Would you like to guide that to me?
Sure. So now we want to slow the top circle down just a bit until the apex of the lower circle is aligned with the upper as it sparks from the right palm to the left palm. So at that point, both circles bulge together towards the center. So they're almost meet at the belly button, but they don't touch. So again, just envision something that you want to manifest. And as both circles meet at that point near the belly button's zone, you're going to feel an exploding energy. At that moment, so it's like a build up, that's when you force the breath out and send the energy through your belly button into the image that you want to manifest. So you're building up all the energy from both circles, and then it's explode the breath out. So at that moment, after you force the breath out, send it into the image that you want to manifest. So you may either feed the image with your breath and energy each time the circles come to meet, or you can wait until both circles have built in momentum, because we're building energy here, so we want some momentum, and then force the breath out and the energy together when you feel the time is right. So when you feel this, your circles are moving, the top, all the energy is moving on the right, the point where they're coming together in the near the belly button, you can force the breath out into whatever it is you're holding that you want to manifest. It's not unusual to feel trembling in your cells when this happens. You may do this exercise by yourself, or you can do it with a sexual partner. If you choose to do the exercise while making love with someone, you'll first have to digest, as Malou said, you first have to digest the density in your partner before you can aim the sexual magic energy onto the image of your desire. Time the release of the sexual magic energy with the movement of ejaculation or peak orgasm. The digestion of the other partner's density is necessary, otherwise the sexual magic energy will go into the density of the other person rather than the image you wish to manifest. So be really clear on dissolving the density before you start practicing this with somebody else. But it's very powerful. And Malou, you want to share the last step in this exercise? Number five?
Sure. Number five is about cleaning up and deactivating the influence of spirit. And I just want to mention the assemblage point.
I think you've cut out, Malou. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Try again.
Hello?
Yes, that's better.
Can you hear me, Denise?
Yes. Yep, now I can. We seem to be having some energy
buildup. Can you hear me?
Yes.
There's a problem with the connection.
Okay,
can you hear me? Okay, so I don't know if you heard about the assemblage. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now I can. Yeah. So I did. You were going to share about the assemblage point.
Okay. I don't know what to. Okay. Yes. Which is a point that it's a point that sits an arm's length to the right behind us, in one of our at the outer rim of the seventh or the spirit body of man, and it determines what reality we're in. So when this assemblage point is moved a little bit upwards or a little bit downwards, our whole reality changes. And this is also the point that we use to, or people, shamans and people can use to shape shift. But anyways, so we're going to pull in this assemblage point. So when we have finished with the forced out breath, we pull in all residual density that's in our fields and digest it in the stomach. So so you envision the assemblage point, which is masculine qualities, at the outer edge of your field. And this is attached to your life force center, which is a ball of light behind your belly button about the size of an orange. And it has this umbilical light cord between them. So there's this cord between the life force center behind the belly button and the assemblage point, which is a bit further back. So allow the life force center to be filled with the song of silence and deep beingness. This makes the life force center feminine. Just feel the peace in your belly. Now envision the assemblage point traveling down the tube or the umbilical cord until it reaches the ball of light behind the belly button. And once they're merged, breathe prana in three times from both ends of the pranic tube. So the pranic tube goes from the crown and all the way down through the body and out at the bottom, by the bottom of the spine. So you breathe in prana, which is ki, life energy, through both ends of the pranic tube. And after the third in-breath and on the third out-breath, see it explode, filling the entire field around your body. So you breathe in and out through the pranic tube three times, and on the third out-breath, you see it explode. Now you pull in any remaining density within your field, including any fragments of your life force center and assemblage point. You pull it into your stomach and digest them, like we did in the beginning. And now you have removed two of the points that spirit has used to pull your strings, so to speak.
My goodness. Thank you, Malu. I don't know about you, but I feel very squeaky clean and energized right now. It feels amazing. So I hope for all our listeners and who got your practice with us, it feels amazing for you too. If you want to read more about this or do the exercise again from the book, you'll find it in Bhavaspata Angel Healing Volume 2, and it's in the second part, Working with the Chakras. So thank you, everyone. We are going to leave you now with the clip from our beloved Almeen talking about sacred sexuality and working with this wonderful meditation. So we will be back with you next week. Praise, love, gratitude, and trust. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Malu. Good night.
Good night.
I've been asked to address the issue of sacred sexuality, and I believe where we should start this discussion is to talk about relationship. Because on the one hand, we are saying that relationship is something that we're transcending in the old way that it used to be. Obviously, relationship is going to exist. It is juvenile to expect that there's no relationship all of a sudden. For us to walk across the floor requires the relationship, the spatial experience. But there is a new way of relationship manifesting that is one that is meant to inspire. And so the old way of having relationship, in order to find ourselves, in order to find ourselves in the other, etc., is something that is giving way, and it's just the timing of it. It's time for it now to evolve to something higher. Relationship is only problematic when we think we are the many. Relationship, when we acknowledge that there is a integrated oneness with all life forms that makes us the one and the many, is a relationship that does not bind, and it can, in fact, inspire. When somebody is dysfunctional, when they wish to be saved, when they wish for the other person to put their life back together again, what they create is a cord that binds, a cord that believes they cannot shine and rise and flourish on their own, and therefore it is a need-based relationship. On the other hand, the person that approaches the relationship with a different attitude from the wholeness of themselves does not have a need-based relationship. Where there's a need-based relationship, because people have not established more wholeness within themselves, there is a saying in English that dependency breeds contempt. And this creates a push-pull, ebb flow from such a person to the other one. And it is because of the fact that they believe the other one to fulfill their needs. They even go to this person for a relationship because they will fulfill their needs. And then there is this part of themselves that wishes not to be dependent. And the dependency is emotional. So a person that has come to a relationship with wholeness, they come because they are inspired by the beauty they see in another. And you can only see beauty in another when you see it in yourself. When there is self-loathing, lack of self-presence, when there is lack of self-love, you cannot see the beauty of another. Because obviously you only recognize what is inside yourself. So the way we approach the relationship determines the quality of what we can give and receive from that relationship. Two people in relationship, one may approach it one way and get a lot from the relationship. Another might approach it in a dysfunctional way and get hardly anything from it and give hardly anything to it. What we get from a relationship depends on the reverence and the respect and the love that we give the person in front of us. If there is not self-respect, you're not going to give it to that person either. So, to continue. Sexuality cannot be used to stick cement in the gaps between the bricks. Many people only stay together because there is a good sexual relationship and they fulfill each other's neediness. The bottom line of it is that sacred sexuality cannot be there until there is a sacred relationship. And if the sexuality is done without love and as a mechanical act, it is extremely disrespectful. So respect, love, truly seeing that person, truly feeling them, is in fact a prerequisite to sacred sexuality. So now, having said that, how do we foresee reality then changing as humanity evolves into a higher form of relationship? Well, first and foremost, whenever somebody wishes somebody else to lift them up, to make them shine, to take care of them, to be their fallback position, to be their backup plan, they make a cord of iron. They cord the other person with a cord of iron. On the other hand, that same person that they are attempting to have fulfill all these things in their own life that they didn't believe they could accomplish on their own before the relationship, the same person that they are cording with iron cables might see them as a source of inspiration, as a source of delight, as a source of wonderment, because when one uncovers something new in a person each day, because you are respectfully aware and with love and praise and gratitude, what that person is giving back to the other one is not a cord of iron. It is like a lighthouse shining from one lighthouse to another one in the distance that sits on a hill. The light beams are the cords. Stars in the sky inspire one another, shining one to the other. That is not cording. That is the way that relationship is supposed to be. It is relationship where we should not any longer take disrespect, but we inspire others. We give them praise. We give them acknowledgement for the beauty in them we see. But there is mutual reciprocity due back. If that is not the case, do not even try to go to the next step. And might I now add, the next step is not sexuality. Sexuality has been used for a good many things. When people cannot properly relate, they use it as a stopgap. They use it as something that binds, that keeps people together. They use it, oftentimes, to dominate the other one. A woman feeling unloved or unlovable could use her sexuality in a way to cord her partner. The other partner could do the same thing, where they wish to conquer somebody that they don't feel capable of conquering, and they could again use sexuality. So the motive behind sexuality is very important. There's actually only one good motive, and the motive is that you have seen such extraordinary things in the other person, that you have ascertained that the song that they sing with their life is compatible for you. And when you see that, then you know that this is a person that you then can take it to the next level. And it takes a long time sometimes to see somebody properly. And sometimes it's almost immediate. And it's only then that you can really come to the conclusion that this is a person I can get to know even deeper by merging my song with theirs. First of all, it's a matter of, do these instruments sing compatibly the same piece of music? The next thing is, let's play a duet. Let's sing this song together. That is the motive behind sexuality. It is not a way of getting to know someone. It's not a way of courting somebody or making somebody think that you're necessary in their life. Look at the sexuality that goes on around us. It is primarily need-based. So sacred sexuality is the aftermath of getting to know someone's song, seeing the beauty in them. And because courtship has unfortunately always been a lie, it puts its best foot forward, and often that best foot is very self-sacrificial in order to keep the other one in the relationship. And then once they're in the relationship, they let their guard down and sides come out to them, out in them, that you cannot believe. And then you realize, wait a minute, I thought they respected me, or I thought they saw me, or I thought they loved me. Meantime, you know, it wasn't there. And so take time to know them. Then you consummate it with sex. If sex comes too soon, the nuances are missed. Now let's take sex to a much higher level than what it has been before. Sexuality before has only been a matter of the genitals. It is to become a whole body interaction. In fact, penetration or sexuality with genitals may not even be required. We have had the issue that the women that go into immortality and beyond have every transfiguration return the vagina to the size that it was when they were, say, 15 years old or something. It is not always comfortable for them, because even when with penetration it stretches again, if they go through a transfiguration, it goes right back. The body seems to think of that as its optimum when you go through transfiguration. So literally dozens and dozens and dozens of the female students in my classes have asked me, what do I do? Do I go to a doctor? Well, it doesn't help, because the next time you transfigure, that happens again. So there are other ways that sexuality can occur. It just depends on the woman. But incredible deep bliss can be experienced through the sacred sexuality, in which both partners can experience what we have described on a few shows ago, when we spoke about how sexuality must always be used in a way that allows manifestation to take place of the perfection underlying the webs of experience. The webs of experience are alternate realities that move us out of our center. And so that exercise that we gave is meant to assist you to do this. It takes a bit of practice. It takes perhaps 3, 4 times, 5 times maybe, so you can really get the hang of it. But when you have the hang of it, and let's say you want to consummate that sacred sexuality with copulation with a partner, what you do is you have to either have them in full cooperation, because to do that, we first of all clear the density that is held in people's midriff area. It's an area where we absorb the environment's density. It must be cleared. If you're going to exhale during ejaculation or an orgasm, the sexual energy through that navel into manifesting the perfection of your life, especially if it's in copulation, it has to go through the other person. If it has to go through the other person, either before you even sexually engage with them, you should digest the density in their midriff for them, so that when you do your own, and then when you actually experience the orgasm and the energy shoots through the belly button to manifest incredibly powerful magic, at that time, it goes also through your partner, and you don't want impurities held in your partner's midriff section to go into the image that you are trying to manifest. So please, you know, re-listen to that show. But these things are vitally important. It sets men free from the discomfort of semen built up energy when they don't regularly ejaculate. When you do these exercises, and as you on a daily basis digest the density, it will release that imprisonment to the man to his own sexuality. The awareness of the other one's beauty, of the perfection and exquisiteness that is in every individual, is essential to this. It takes the nuances first, the delicate things about them, how they move their hands, their smile, the softness in their voice, the delicate things first. If sex comes too soon, then those delicate things are not noticed. So with this, I will sign off, and I will just mention that in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we have two pieces, I believe, written about the sexuality of man and how it can be sublimated as well. And the last thing I just want to say is that when we love without agenda, we actually raise the consciousness of the person that we love by 40%. When somebody loves us even with an agenda, it can, if we are understanding of that, raise our own consciousness by up to 10%. But when it is given without agenda, it changes your life. It changes the life of the one you love. But man has to live and learn to love without pain. And when sexuality comes in too soon, then it muddies the water. Thank you very much for having me. Goodbye.